Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Viva Trattoria Studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Good morning and hello, everyone. I guess it's noontime now, so good afternoon and welcome to the Grace Curley Show. I am not Grace Curley. I am a millennial. I do have a mic, but I'm not Grace. She is off on spring break. We wish her and Will, the whole family, a great spring break while we're holding it down. We've been on Ronna McDaniel watch all week, ever since she went on Meet the Press and Chuck Todd clutched his pearls about her. And I did predict, my first prediction was that she would be done before the end of Howie's show on Monday. That was a little aggressive. Yesterday I came back and I said, I think by the time Grace comes back from spring break, Ronna McDaniel will be gone from NBC. And I predicted she would get paid out her contract. And now today we can officially announce that Ronna McDaniel has split ways from NBC News as a paid analyst. I don't know the details yet. I'll see if I can find anyone that does. But Jared, do we know yet? Like, have they told her? Because what I heard yesterday is that she heard it on the news. And like, you can't, what I've learned is you can't believe everything you see on NBC News. So she heard about it in the news media. They put out a statement to all their employees at NBC. But as of last night, she was saying that they hadn't told her yet. That was kind of an interesting way to break ties with someone.
Yeah, that sounds about right, though. That's pretty much on brand for them. So I've seen some reports that they're rescinding the contract, which is not exactly firing, because I guess it would mean never hiring. But I don't know.
Like an annulment? They're like going right for an annulment of their contract with her? Well, the other thing I thought was interesting, too, is yesterday the reporting was that they were going to probably dump her, which I'd been predicting all along. And then it said she was working on hiring a lawyer. And it was like, you didn't have one in place. But the other thing that was interesting is that she got dumped by her agent, CAA, which was representing her. They said, never mind, we're firing you as a client. So she got dumped by everybody. And I don't really think it was her fault. It was her fault. Because here's the thing. And the coverage was that she got representation and there were a lot of different news outlets and people that were interested in her. And she negotiated and landed on NBC News. Shame on her, really. Like, did you not know? Did you not know who you were getting in bed with or doing a deal with? Right. Like, you didn't know that. Like, you didn't realize what the reputation of this agency is, who else they employ. What's the vibe now at NBC, or I guess at MSNBC? Is there a difference between the two? Like, do when I say NBC, does that encompass MSNBC, or do I need to? I know Rachel Maddow. I was a little bit worried for her because of her halting way of speaking about how the hiring of Ronna McDaniel was the worst thing ever. Let's check in on our friend Rachel Maddow. Let's go to clip one.
Our chairman of the NBC Universal News Group, Cesar Conde, who we both know very well, he sent a memo that we all got as employees here, rescinding the hiring of Ronna Romney McDaniel. And I know I felt very strongly about it. I know you felt very strongly about it. I think everyone from 4 o'clock on, from Nicole all the way to midnight, we all felt very strongly and said so on our respective shows yesterday. And I just have to say, when somebody does the right thing, I feel like it should be acknowledged as publicly as we acknowledged our outrage. And so I know how I feel about it. I am grateful to Cesar for actually making the right decision. I think it was the right decision, but I want to get your take as well.
Oh, well, thank you for asking me about it. I still feel like a little, it always feels wrong to talk about things, you know, in the company.
Agreed.
As if it's news. And I, you know, it's just this, it's not the way either you or I are wired,
all.
I know, but I,
maybe I should apologize right off the bat because I made our listeners listen to both Joy Reid and Rachel Maddow, which, like, I can't bring myself to do it. It was like yesterday, Jared, when we were going through those clips of Jen Psaki, I came out. I think I told you and Taylor, I was like, I can't do it. Like, I just can't. Like, there's something about listening to these people that's insufferable. But Joy Reid, look, here's the interesting thing, though. This Orwellian language of rescinded the hiring, you cannot do it. You hired her. You hired her, you gave rescinded the hiring. Oh, never happened. You know, you hired her, and I bet you're paying out the full contract in order to get her to go away, which, you know, being paid to go away, some people make a career out of it. I don't think it's a bad idea. Rachel Maddow, feels a little awkward talking about our employer, which here's the thing. Chuck Todd knew what he was doing when he did this on Meet the Press. But I want to be very clear about what Chuck Todd said on Sunday, because it gave permission to everyone else to criticize NBC on air. But what Chuck Todd was commenting on, and I think it's an interesting, weird position NBC News took, is that Ronna McDaniel was already booked as a guest for Meet the Press. After booking her as a guest, they later offered her a contract to be a paid analyst. And so the awkwardness that Chuck Todd was commenting on is, we invited you as a member of the public that we were going to interview, but now in the time since we invited you and since when we're going to interview you, we've hired you. And so you can't be like, now that's kind of muddying the waters between journalism and being paid to be on our air. And so that's what he was upset about. That's what the original sin was, which had nothing to do with this Trumperism and trutherism and the big lie and being too close to Trump and not defending democracy and undermining it. That was the original sin, was that NBC was the culprit here, because they took someone that was going to be interviewed as an objective member of the public, Republican activist, whatever, and then they put them on the payroll, so it was no longer an objective interview. What that became at MSNBC and Morning Joe, Rachel Maddow, Lawrence O'Donnell, Joy Reid, they all piled on, but they changed the argument. It was no longer a problem for Kristen Welker to meet the press. It was, we can't be associated with this person. Listen to how giddy she is. You know, like, she's like, oh, I hate to even talk about this. Of course you love talking about this. Oh, but, and then she can't hold her joy. After all of the hand-wringing and pearl-clutching, everything we listened to on Monday, now you hear this dunking and this giddiness. Let's take a little more. I'm sorry to do this. I know, I'm sorry. It's early in the show to listen to Rachel, but let's go with cut two.
I will just say that journalists are a fractious bunch. And in our big company with all sorts of different journalistic entities, you have all sorts of different people.
All right, pause it right there. Rachel Maddow is not a journalist. Rachel Maddow is not a journalist. Don't associate yourself with the journalist community. Like, that's not who you're standing up for. Yes, you have your opinion about NBC and who can be associated. But Rachel, you're not a journalist, and also Ronna McDaniel wasn't being asked to be a journalist. She was asking to be a analyst, a commentator, to come on, talk about Republican things because they don't know any other Republicans. All right, go ahead. Keep playing the clip.
Working in this business, doing all sorts of different kinds of work, and to see the essentially unanimous feeling among all the journalists in this building and all the sort of senior staff and all the producers and everybody in this building about this was one thing. But then to see the executives and the leadership hear that and respond to it and be willing to change course based on it, based on their respect for us and hearing what we argued, I have deep respect for that. I do. I mean what I said on the air last night on my show, that I think that acknowledging that you might have got something wrong is a real sign of strength, a real show of strength. And I think it's a show of strength, and I think it's a show of respect for the people who work at this company and who make us who we are.
We can stop right there. She's saying that to Joy Reid. Has Joy Reid ever been able to admit when she was wrong? Do we have a great sign of strength and respect for Joy Reid? Which, it's funny, by the way, that Rachel Maddow had to go on Joy Reid's show because Rachel Maddow only works one day a week. She works Mondays. So she had to come on, make a special appearance on Joy Reid's show. And she's saying admitting when you're wrong is a sign of strength. Jared, remind me, when Joy Reid found herself in hot water for a very inappropriate tweet, did she come clean? Did she admit that she was wrong?
I believe that's where the time traveling hackers come into things.
The time travel. So she doesn't. But it's a sign of strength. It's a sign of. And I love how Rachel says, like, oh yeah, like, they're just so self-aware. I'm so happy about them. Like, no, they got bullied into this cancel culture that Rachel and Lawrence O'Donnell and Joy Reid and Joe Scarborough and all of the left-wing talent, Jen Psaki. Oh, we got to stand up for truth. There is no truth on MSNBC. There's no leadership there. Also, I think it was interesting that the executive that that sent out the message, he took full responsibility for the decision, although throwing his leadership team. Although there was consensus from some of the leaders on our team, I signed off on it. I take responsibility because they're worried that someone was going to have to be fired over this, and someone should be fired. People should be fired at NBC for handling this poorly. Rhonda McDaniel should be fired because she never should have agreed to this in the first place, but whatever, she needs a payday. But you know, be careful who you do business with. Like, this is very foreseeable. But the other thing that's foreseeable is that now what we know is how MSNBC and NBC are going to cover the election, that they're not going to stomach dissenting voices, that just being associated with Trump or having been involved in his last campaign could be reason they won't let you be on. You're canceled. You're canceled. You can't be on the show. Like, how can we possibly? You're undermining democracy. I was watching Fox last night, and I thought Trace Gallagher did a good job talking about it. Let's go ahead with cut three.
Well, the Fox News tonight Common Sense Department says when it comes to MSNBC, you can forget about network executives. The on-air personalities run the place. They certainly ran Ronna McDaniel out the door, saying that Ronna isn't honest. Jen Psaki was irate over comparisons between her and Ronna McDaniel's political backgrounds, with Psaki saying it's about truth versus lies. Common Sense assumes when Psaki says truth that she means herself. The very same Jen Psaki who stood at the White House podium and told untruths about everything from COVID to oil rights to border security. Now might be a good time to remind you that the Network of Truth, told us Trump was a Russian agent, Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation, and Michael Brown was murdered. And Chuck Todd has the nerve to say Ronna McDaniel has credibility issues? Joy Reid got caught posting bigoted statements on social media and blamed hackers. After former CIA Director John Brennan lied to Congress, naturally, MSNBC hired him. If Adam Schiff retired from Congress tomorrow, they'd hire him too. Not because he lied, but because he lied about the right people, those on the right. Ronna didn't get pushed out for not being honest. She got pushed out for not being a Democrat. Common Sense thinks if honesty is truly MSNBC's Rubicon, stop lying about it.
Love it. I think that's the thing, right? If you can hire John Brennan, if you can see past the Hunter Biden laptop disinformation hoax, I mean, if that's their standard, then I mean, this doesn't pass muster. All right, I want to take your calls, want to have a conversation, so we'll do that when we come back. We'll also do our today's poll question. We'll relate to this. If you want to join the conversation, 844-500-4242. Let's take a quick break. More on this when we come back. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for Grace Curley here on The Grace Curley Show.
And something you don't have to worry about being rescinded or canceled or what have you is a great offer from the Nauset Beach Inn. They've just opened reservations for spring, so you want to get on this now. You can book your April stay at the Nauset Beach Inn from $249.99 a night, and in May, rates from $259.99 a night. Don't delay because these rooms go fast. I've been to the Nauset Beach Inn. A lot of people associated with the show have. I loved it. My wife and I loved walking along the beach. We love sitting by the fire pits, drinking our morning coffee, and watching the sunrise. There are hiking trails you can take around there. You can see the stars. Every room steps from the beach, and they're pet friendly, so you can bring your dog to walk the beach with you or run on the beach. It's great. There's a view from every room and a fireplace in every room. Check-in is contactless. It's the perfect getaway that's not far away. To reserve your ocean view room, go to NausetBeachInn.com. Again, rates in April, $249.99 a night, and May from $259.99 a night. Don't delay. Go to NausetBeachInn.com now. That's NausetBeachInn.com.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
So I know I've talked about Ronna McDaniel a lot this week while I'm filling in for Grace. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, by the way, joining you from the WGAN studio up in Portland, Maine. Now, I just think that, you know, it's an interesting lesson for everyone that forgot how the mainstream media reacts to these Trumpers, these Trump, what did they call them yesterday? Lawrence O'Donnell, Trump liars, these Trump liars. And so I wanted to just bring attention. I think it's a good instructive lesson for everyone. And so that's why Ronna McDaniel is once again the subject of today's poll question. Today's poll question brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, please update us. What is today's poll question and what are the responses thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is where do you think Ronna McDaniel will land next? Running a veterans home, running a national sports organization, running for office, running a Ponzi scheme, running a political action committee, running from the law, or nowhere. She is canceled.
I like running a athletic organization like Charlie Baker. Like, I mean, all these people, they don't go away, do they?
They
always
up.
Find some sort of soft landing. What do I think she'll do? I don't think she's going to land anywhere. I think it's going to be a while. But I wouldn't put it past her running for office, though. She's a Romney, after all. She's going back to Michigan. I think she runs for office next. That's what I'm going to bank on.
15% think she'll run for office. 45% think she'll go nowhere because she's canceled. 34% for running a political action committee.
Yeah.
All others under 3%.
Yeah, no, I think that those are good responses, those are good answers. I mean, some of them are meant to be funny, I think, but it's really like, where do people go? She'll do some fundraising. She'll probably be a consultant. She'll probably, if too bad the this all happened now, because if it happened sooner, she could have been, you know, consulting other, like, you know, those other presidential candidates. She could charge them a ton of money to tell them to stay in the race so they could keep paying her, which is what political consultants do. But I think this whole episode was predictable. I feel bad for her because I don't think she saw it coming, but I mean, hopefully she got a good lawyer and a good payday out of it. Let's go to the phone lines. The number again, if you want to join the conversation, 844-500-4242. Let's go ahead and talk to Tom. Tom, welcome to the Grace Curley Show.
Yeah, as far as Rachel Maddow is concerned, you're correct. She is not a journalist. She espouses talking points on her program. And I listen to other progressives talk about how Fox News does exactly the same thing, and yet they follow her like a religion. And a real journalist is somebody like either Matt Taibbi or Mike Taibbi, father and son, or Seymour Hersh. Those were actual journalists that had definitely a liberal slant. However, they would do their homework and they would expose stories and show that, hey, you know something? You've been lied to. And when they exposed that, people like Rachel Maddow came down on them like a ton of bricks. So I guess the bottom line is, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. And we're a very divided country right now. All I looked at, President Trump, he is a very wealthy man that they were trying to bend the laws to take his personal property. And that's not how we do this in this country. We are not the Philippines. That's what Ferdinand Marcos did when he declared martial law, and I don't know how long that went on for. What did he do to his political opposition? Nino Aquino, in the mid-'80s, stepped off a plane in Manila, shot in the head. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Tom. Good points. I think I don't know that I have much to add to that. I thought those were really, really great. But this whole idea of who is a journalist, who's not a journalist, and maybe it is that the Biden folks don't ever get the hard questions. They don't take hard questions. So it's why they don't recognize journalism, because they've been treated so differently and with kid gloves. It was like what we saw with Janet Mills after the Lewiston shooting. Someone from the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, they asked her a hard question about things that happened, and she crumbled because she'd been in this bubble, and now she had to appoint a political commission to go look into it as cover for the fact that she didn't know how to answer a journalist's question. So I think it's really, really good point about what they're allowing, what they're not, and who they follow. Great point. And Matt Taibbi, I know exactly. The journalism that gets you kicked off, you can only take it to Twitter or X. I mean, that's why it's so important that Elon Musk did buy Twitter, so that there is a forum for freedom of speech. Speaking of them not being able to take questions, don't have time to play it before the break, but we'll do it when we come back. Did you hear Karine Jean-Pierre? She called into a radio show, and she actually started getting tough questions, so she ended the interview. She hung up because she couldn't believe that she was being asked about the president and his mental state, which anyone in their right mind, no pun intended, wants to know. And so I think that'll be interesting. We'll talk about that when we come back. By the way, we'll get the latest on the boat crash. Biden couldn't cancel his campaign trip, though. Remember, imagine if Trump had gone and campaigned in a day with a tragedy like that. We'll do that, RFK Jr.'s running mate, and much more when we come back on The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for Grace.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
You know, Jared, I really did like being in studio yesterday. This is Aaron Chadbourne. I'm filling in for Grace Curley this week. I'm broadcasting remotely today from the WGAN Portland Radio Group studio up here in Portland, Maine. But coming down there, being on the Rumble Cam, getting clips of me on the internet that are now dancing, because that music that leads in, it is dancing music. I know Grace often dances to it. You can't help yourself. It really has that effect on you, but hope everything's going well. Hope everyone's doing well. Thanks for being with us now while Grace is on spring break. Before the break, we were talking a bit about the Ronna McDaniel fiasco and how it's played out. It did light up the phone line, so let's take one more call on that. We'll talk to Lisa, and then we'll get into KJP. Lisa, welcome to the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, Aaron. I'm so happy you're representing Maine. Thank you. You're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you. I love my Maine callers. See, we're one big community in Maine. So, Lisa, thanks for listening.
Yes, yes, we are. All right, I just want to say something real quick about the MSLSD, I like to call them. MSLSD is so crazy. Like, why would the management and the board of directors or whoever listen to Chuck Todd? He destroyed the show, A. B, he's just not important. He's not very smart. And he's a hack. Why would they not want at least one Republican voice on that network to go back and forth? I mean, I'm sure she would have curtailed her conservative tendencies just to satisfy them. So what is the big deal? Because she defended Trump publicly. That's why.
Yeah. No, thanks for the call, Lisa. Good point. And I think what this really is it was them laying down the gauntlet for this is how the election's going to be. It was an early test that NBC failed and the MSNBC on-air hosts, they all won. It was to stand up and say, we're not going to allow a free and fair election. And now she got in trouble, Ronna McDaniel, for even calling it not free and fair. But not free and fair because the media, it's kind of like when Facebook algorithms only promote what Mark Zuckerberg wants them to see about George Soros funded propaganda. If that's what gets put out there and that's the only thing that's allowed to be there while they suppress the Hunter Biden laptop story and they tell everyone it's Russian disinformation when it's verifiable fact and they knew it at the time. I mean, that's what we mean when we're saying it's not a fair election when they rig it. And so what they want to make sure they do is they're putting everyone on notice that on MSNBC and on NBC, if you're pro Trump, you're not going to be able to be. And by the way, there are a lot of people who aren't pro Trump, but you know what they are? They're anti Biden because the way that this president has led and many of the policies and many of the effects that they're seeing are unacceptable. And so like, what's the choice? You got Trump, you got Biden. I guess you have these other like lesser knowns. RFK Jr. announced his running mate yesterday. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I mean, that's the choice. And so either you let people have a fair decision, you give them access to information, you allow people with different views to talk about it, or you basically are state-run media, and that's what MSNBC's hosts are saying they want to be. Make no mistake about it. Speaking of state-run media, Karine Jean-Pierre, I thought it was interesting that she even agreed to call into a radio station yesterday. She was on in North Carolina, and maybe that's their like whole strategy. Like they think that they're going to be better than these local hosts. That's why they go on the local shows. But let's go ahead and listen to a couple clips of KJP as she calls into a North Carolina radio show. Let's start with clip 10.
When I told a number of people that I was talking to you today, it was interesting, though. They all said, would you please just ask her? does the president have dementia? And so before I move on from that, does he?
Mark, I can't even believe you're asking me this question. That is a credibly offensive question to ask.
But you know people ask it.
No. You're taking us down this rabbit hole. Let me be very clear about this.
So if the answer is no, like, just say no. Like, what the, oh, I can't believe you're even asking me this question. What an incredibly offensive question. And I thought Mark, and that was Mark Garrison, radio host in North Carolina, he says exactly what is on everyone's mind. A lot of people said, I said I was having you for the show. This is what everyone wanted me to ask you, so I'm going to ask you. And she said, I can't believe you're asking that. He said, well, yeah, but does he? Like, yes or no? Yes or no question, Karine Jean-Pierre. And I know this isn't the White House press briefing room where you shut everyone down and interrupt them like you're getting mad at Mark Garrison for doing to you, right? But that's what people want to know. That is the question on people's mind. You don't answer it. You don't get asked it. You ignore it. But that's the question people want to know. All right, cut 11.
Really, you know, take the premise of your question. I think it is incredibly insulting, and so we can move on to the next question.
Gas prices and grocery prices, then, big topics here in North Carolina. How does Mr. Biden win votes when people don't have as much disposable income?
Look, the president understands. He grew up in a middle-class family, a working-class family in Scranton, Pennsylvania. He gets it. He understands how difficult it is for Americans who are sitting around their kitchen table every month trying to figure out what they're going to pay for.
So, again, she gets asked again and she says, I don't like the premise of your question. The next question. She moves on. She hides behind the fact that the doctors haven't said anything. And I think, and we cut a little bit out of her clip, but she doesn't just say no. She doesn't just say no. It's a yes or no question. Say yes or say no. But instead, she does this whole, I'm offended you to even ask the question. Name me someone, anyone, Republican, Democrat, Independent. I want you, try this in your life. Go find someone that you know is probably going to vote for Joe Biden, or they're not going to ever vote for Donald Trump because that's what they've told you. Go and have a conversation with them. Just say, hey, out of curiosity, what do you think about the current president, Joe Biden's mental state? Like, do you think he's all there? I defy you to find one person who would say yes and who wouldn't want Karine Jean-Pierre to be asked that question and then give a response. And if you're not prepared for this question, you don't deserve to be the press secretary of the White House. You should be able to answer basic questions that everyone I see and talk to, whether they're politically inclined or not, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, they all think Biden is old. They see him walking. They see him talking. And they have concerns. I think it was a fair question. I don't think it was a gotcha question. I think the fact that she wasn't prepared for it, or the way she was prepared, was to dodge it and just be like, oh, that's so offensive. Like, no. Like, you, whatever. I don't think she's qualified for a job anyway. But this is I want you to hear how it ends. So let's take the last cut, cut 12.
Not forget, Russia's invasion on Ukraine skyrocketed prices of gas. And because the president took action, we are in a different place than we were a year ago on gas prices. Eggs, milk, seafood products, all the important groceries, those costs have gone down because of what this president has been able to do. And with that, thank you so much, Mark. Have an amazing, amazing day.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Unbelievable. I mean, like, that's her thing. He asks her, first, does Joe Biden have dementia? Second, there's inflation. Like, what do you say to people who are concerned about that? She, first of all, won't answer yes or no. She dodges around it, says offended by the question. Then she blames Russia for inflation. Stop me if you've heard this story before. And then she hangs up. She doesn't want to take more questions. Like, you can't make this stuff up, which is why I think it's important that everyone hear it. If you want to weigh in, 844-500-4242, the number here on the Grace Curley Show. Let's take a quick call from Joe. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you today?
Very good. What's up, Joe?
Okay, I just want to say that what a hypocrite she said, and I quote, on that clip that you just played, maybe a paraphrase, but darn close. You know, Joe Biden knows what it's like being from a working class family, and he knows how hard it is to pay, you know, how tough it is financially for people out there, and he's making us pay for a bridge. What?
Yeah.
That don't make any sense. That is hypocrisy at the ultimate. Congratulations, you've just won a prize. It's a badge. It says hypocrisy at the ultimate. You know what I mean? Who wants that prize?
Thanks for the call, Joe. I appreciate it. Also, what job has he held? Other than being in elected office and being in public life his whole life, I want to know what working class job. I know he has a lot of stories about driving a truck.
He's a truck driver, a lifeguard, a quarterback at an HBCU.
He's still a working class bloke.
Yeah, you know, he just got up, wiped the oil slick off his windshield and got down in the coal mines like your average Joe anybody from any town USA.
I stand corrected. I forgot. Joe everywhere. But you're absolutely right. He doesn't care where the money's coming from. He doesn't know what it's like to be a working class person. He doesn't know what it's like to struggle with finances. And he doesn't know what the price of gas is. And her blaming Russia and Russia's war is the reason why. Why is Russia at war in Ukraine? Because they were emboldened by the Biden administration and by their abject failure. So I don't want to hear it. I mean, the fact that she couldn't take the conversation and she had to hang up, like, I think that tells you all you need to know about what happens when these people get asked hard questions. I know this is lighting up the phone lines. We'll take more of your calls when we come back from break. You know, one place, Jared, where they are sensitive to people's pocketbooks, though, and how much people can afford is the Nassau Beach Inn, where they've set great rates for the spring.
Yeah, and I will never dodge a question on how awesome the Nassau Beach Inn is, because I've stayed there, as a lot of people in the Howie Carr Radio Network have, and it's fantastic. It's so tranquil. It's so peaceful. They have, you know, fire pits that you can just sit outside and be comfortable by. My wife and I, when we went down, we loved drinking our morning coffee by the fire pits. The views are fantastic. Your steps from the beach, you can just walk along the beach. You can enjoy that. They're pet friendly, so you can bring your dog. Yeah, you can see stars. There's hiking trails. There's so much to do with the Nassau Beach Inn, and it's a great getaway that's not far away. And Aaron just mentioned the prices, and this is really, really something you want to jump on right now, because these rooms are going to go fast. Right now, you can book your April stay at the Nassau Beach Inn from $249.99 a night, and in May, rates are from $259.99 a night. That's a price you're not going to find anywhere else, especially on the Cape. Don't delay. These rooms are going to go fast. Nassau Beach Inn is pet-friendly, has a view from every room, and check-in is contactless. To reserve your ocean view room, again, from $249.99 a night in April and $259.99 a night in May, go to NassauBeachInn.com. That's NassauBeachInn.com.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
I was saying before the break that, you know, if Trump were president, and I hate this whataboutism, and I know I do it a fair amount, but if Trump were president, the day that a cargo ship slammed into a bridge, the bridge fell into the river, seven people went missing and died, and then he got on a plane and flew down to campaign, like, it would be nonstop wall-to-wall coverage. But Biden does it. You know, he tweets out a picture of him at the desk. He has a short press conference where he says that he used to ride across the bridge in a train, which there are no train tracks on the bridge. And then he hops on a plane and goes and stands with Kamala Harris in North Carolina to campaign. And no one says a thing. Like, it's perfectly normal. Of course it's accepted. Again, this is our state-run media and what you're hearing. By the way, how did Biden do yesterday in North Carolina? Was he intelligible? Let's have clip 13.
But companies have stopped covering, and that life was put in danger. They just cut off the insurance.
Do you think he thinks he does a good job when he does this? I mean, he can't string two sentences together. Like, do you think he's like, heck of a job, Joe? You're killing it. You're crushing it.
You're good blood, cut 14.
The federal deficit is down by $160 million for the next 10 years.
$160,000 or $160 million? I mean, again, where does George W. Bush go to get his apology? Mercilessly mocked. Anytime he had any slip up of how he pronounced something or said something, wall-to-wall coverage, every nightly show, he was the butt of every joke. Joe Biden given a pass. They still, on Saturday Night Live, will cover Donald Trump nonstop every night. When was the last time you saw them do Biden or Kamala? Like, when? Let's go with, we have a couple more of these, right? Let's take Cut 15.
Folks, if America sends me a Congress that are Democrats.
Did he say sends me to Congress?
Folks, if America sends me a Congress that are Democrats.
Sends me a Congress that are... So he wants them to send Democrats? Like, what is he talking about? And I do love when he forgets if he's running for president or he's running for the Senate or Congress, because, I mean, he's that's all he's done his whole life. Like, I can understand why he falls back into these old scripts, because he doesn't know where he is. And he doesn't know what's going on. What did Trump say the other day? Like, he doesn't even know if he's alive. Biden is thugs. And I say and is thugs because I don't think he even knows if he's alive. Go ahead, clip. Cut 16.
Folks, you notice the leading economists aren't making much fun of Bidenomics anymore. They're thinking maybe it works to build from the middle out and the bottom up.
You know why people aren't making fun of Bidenomics anymore? Because you're not saying the word anymore. They actually have been tracking how many times he says Bidenomics. And for the last 2 months, he hasn't actually said it at all, because they found that it doesn't work. People know what Bidenomics are. And guess what? People were happier when they had more money in their pockets, when things cost less, when we weren't at war everywhere. Like, people were happier without Bidenomics. So Bidenomics, it's really funny. I have to find the chart. I think the House Republicans tweeted it out this morning. But Biden hasn't said Bidenomics publicly in 2 months. He used to say it all the time, and now he only says it on sparing occasion. And it's because, guess who does talk about Bidenomics? Republicans in the House. Oh, yeah, here are the stats. So in June of 2023, Biden publicly mentioned the word Bidenomics 29 times. In July, it was 21, then down to only 14 times in October. November dropped to 4, 2 times in January, 0 times publicly in February. That could also be because as the election gets closer, they're letting him make fewer and fewer public remarks. So he's not saying Bidenomics, but you know who is saying it? It's correlated. The House Republicans, people in Congress speaking about Bidenomics are going up. So maybe, Joe, check with your minders, check with your staff, the ones that you ask if you can answer questions or not. They probably weren't thrilled to have you even say the word out loud. And no, I don't think you're right. When you say people aren't making fun of Bidenomics anymore, they are. And maybe they're not making fun of it because it's not a joke. Not a joke. They're paying more money for everything, for gas, for eggs, for groceries. They're paying more for rent, for housing, for mortgage payments. And now here we are in an election year and the chickens are coming home to roost, and you're going to have to confront this. And that's why this strategy of defending democracy and making that the issue, or making these fights about reproductive health, like, all of these debates are to take away from the fact that people don't feel better off under Biden than they did under Trump. And the only thing that Democrats can do to muddy those waters are A, change the subject, or B, they use COVID and what happened during COVID to somehow let them fudge the numbers, which, whatever, the numbers are what they are because we shut down society. And Trump was complicit in that, by the way. I don't let him off the hook, much like Ron DeSantis did during the early debates. Trump went along with Dr. Fauci. Trump brought us Dr. Fauci, and he went along with the, you know, 14 days to stop the curve or whatever. Like, we went along with him, and Trump empowered a lot of these people, led to a lot of the policies that happened, and then tried to change it when he realized how terrible it was. And he says he learned from it. He'd make different decisions now, and I'm sure that's true. But they say, oh, well, they take the numbers of everything that stopped during COVID that was government imposed, and then they take credit for the rebound. They take credit for, oh, and then when we stopped telling people that it was illegal for them to go to work, turns out productivity went up. Employment went up. After we stopped firing members of the armed services if they wouldn't consent to getting a vaccine, oh, guess what? enrollment went up. That's what they're trying to take credit for. So they've got to either change the subject or muddy the waters, because they know this is where Biden has vulnerability. So I actually think, let him talk about Bidenomics. Although I do like Karine Jean-Pierre. I can't get over it. I'm going to have to get that cut of her saying that that's an offensive question. Maybe we'll pull that one out. And anytime I'm in a situation, I could get it like one of those like that was easy buttons that they have at Staples that I'll just play, that Karine Jean-Pierre will be telling me that a question is really, that's really insensitive. I can't even believe you would ask that. You're the White House press secretary. This is the most predictable question that you might get asked. And Joe Biden campaigning on a day of national tragedy, if Trump had done it, again, we that's all we'd hear everywhere. We'll have much more show coming up for you here on The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for Grace, and we'll be right back.